And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. Hello to all of our listeners out there.
I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Through your financial and prayerful support, you've kept us on the air for over 40 years and just ask that you continue to do what you can. We're quickly approaching Christmas in a couple of days and the end of the year. If you've not done your year-end giving yet, please consider making a donation to In His Sign. You can find all the information on our website at inhissign.com. Donate online. The address is there. Whatever you can do to help out is certainly appreciated. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. And we're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Reminder that we have a shrine to the Venerable Matt Talbot located in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. Open on Tuesdays and Thursdays following daily mass at 8:30 in the morning until around 4:30 each day on Tuesdays. Father Foley calls it Talbot Tuesday. We have an exposition of the Blessed Sacrament from 3 to 4 with Matt Talbot novena prayers and benediction at 4 o'clock. On Thursdays, we have a rosary at 4 o'clock for those that may want to join us. A shout out to all the folks that came to the third Tuesday Matt Talbot evening at St. Gabriel's last night. On the third Tuesday of each month, we gather for a Matt Talbot Holy Hour and Mass. Last night, I think we had close to 40 people there, and just a beautiful night in preparation for Christmas. Father McKay is always there. Father Michael Shea, a Vincentian priest from the Basilica Shrine of the Miraculous Medal in Germantown, was on hand to hear confessions as well, and then Mass. So that's on the third Tuesday of each month. Everybody's more than welcome to come and join us. We pray for anybody that has any involvement whatsoever with the addiction, whether you're active addiction, in recovery, have a family member or loved one that's either in active addiction or in recovery, and we get together and pray for them that we all find our way closer to God. So, again, thanks to all those that showed up last night. We look forward to seeing you again in January. I believe it'll be January the 16th will be the third Tuesday. All right, let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence for the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Blessed Carlos Acutis.
Pray for us.
St. John Canty.
Pray for us.
St. Peter Canisius.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
And for Michael Dietz too, Ken. Yeah. May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from that break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. So if God's touched you in a particular way, we'd like for you to give us a call and share it with our listeners. We are currently in the third week of Advent, and like we said, it's the 20th, so we're just 5 days till Christmas, 4 days if you go to Mass on the vigil on Christmas Eve. And like Father was saying this morning at our prayer gathering and Mass, the fourth Sunday in Advent is going to be relatively short this year, and the fourth week of Advent is non-existent. So we'll get right. Yeah. So we are in the third week of Advent, and only two saints in the calendar this week. Father mentioned them in our opening prayer there. Tomorrow, the 21st, we celebrate St. Peter Canisius, priest and doctor of the church. And on Saturday, the 23rd, St. John of Canty, who was a priest. So we will start with St. Peter Canisius. And, you know, it's funny, whenever I hear Canisius, I go right back to Friday night basketball, college basketball, and you'd see Villanova or Temple where somebody was playing Canisius. Never realized it was a Jesuit school name for St. Peter Canisius. It was just always called Canisius. But he was born on May the 8th in the year 1521 and would die on December the 21st in the year 1597. He had a whole lot of energy and was really important to the Catholic Reformation in Germany, as he played a key role and has been called the second apostle of Germany, in that his life parallels the earlier work of St. Boniface, who of course is called the apostle of Germany. He accused himself of being idle in his youth, although that couldn't have been too long, because at 19 years old he received his master's degree from the University of Cologne. It was after that he would meet Peter Faber, who was the first disciple of Ignatius of Loyola. He had such an impact on Peter that Peter Canisius would join the newly formed Society of Jesus, or the Jesuits. He took up the practice that he continued throughout his life, which was study, reflection, prayer, and writing. After his ordination in 1546, he would write editions of the writings of St. Cyril of Alexandria and St. Leo the Great. And besides his zeal for that, he also had a zeal for the apostolate. He would often be found visiting the sick, the imprisoned, and even when his assigned duties were more than enough to keep him busy. So he always seemed to find time to look out for others. In 1547, he attended several sessions at the Council of Trent, and the decrees that came from there he would be later assigned to implement. He did a teaching assignment at the Jesuit College in Messina, and then was entrusted with the mission to Germany, and that would become the rest of his life's works. He taught in several universities, established colleges and seminaries, even wrote a catechism that explained the Catholic faith for the common people so that they could understand, which was really needed in that age. He also became a popular preacher. He would pack the churches for those eager to hear his eloquent proclamation of the gospel. He also was quite the diplomat, able to reconcile between disputing factions. And apparently they were able to gather up his letters that filled 8 volumes and found wisdom and counsel to people of all works of life. One of the things that they found in there, too, was his letters of criticism to the leaders of the church. And apparently he didn't get in too much trouble like some of the folks today, apparently, that are, you know, you criticize the church and laying yourself in trouble. But apparently Peter Canisius probably did it more diplomatically, perhaps, but did it with, as it says here, in the context of a loving and sympathetic concern. At the age of 70, he had a paralytic seizure, but continued to preach and write through the use and aid of a secretary. until he would die in the Netherlands on December the 21st, 1597. That's St. Peter Canisius, whose feast day we will celebrate tomorrow, December the 21st.
Yeah. There's a few things that touched me with his life, Ken. He was honored as one of the pioneers of the Catholic press and wrote three catechisms, one long, one short, and one shorter. And he never, you know, he had such a gentle heart and a humble heart. And he would really speak about not to have any kind of harsh words for anybody. To remind me of St. Francis de Sales, that you catch more flies with a teaspoon of honey than with barrel of vinegar. And he was talking about, like, bringing heretics back to the church and Protestants. And he would say this: give the Protestants milk before you give them solid food. He said, these errors proceed from ignorance, and don't break the bruised reed or quench the wick. You know, all that, like the heart of Jesus, you know, gentle heart of Jesus, the humble heart of Jesus. It really is a saint, you know. It's Jesus just living all over again. And how saints really do inspire saints. It was Saint Aloysius who actually inspired him to enter into the Jesuit order. And then, of course, Ignatius would put him under his wing, you know, for like five months. He would hold that Peter Canisius under his wing for 5 months. And he proved him to be a model of religious, and prepared him to go anywhere and do anything. And there was one saying, too, about his quote. He said, "Oh, Jesus, I promise you to submit myself to all that you permit to happen to me, and make me only know your will." Just all the saints, not my will be done, but your will be done. And I think the saints, too, you know, they're really mystics, but not all the saints. They're so hidden, they don't really share their mysticism so well. And but there's one thing that he really did tell about a spiritual experience. And I just like to read that. He says this about his spiritual experience. At length, it was as if you opened to me the heart in your most sacred body. I seemed to see it directly before my eyes. You told me to drink from this fountain, inviting me, that is, to draw waters of salvation from the wellsprings, my Savior. I was most eager that streams of faith, hope, and love should flow into me from that source. I was thirsting for poverty, chastity, obedience. I asked to be clothed, to be wholly cleaned by you, to be made resplendent by you. So after daring to approach your most loving heart, to plunge my thirst in it, I received a promise from you of a garment made of three parts, and they were peace, love, and perseverance, to cover my soul in its nakedness, and to belong especially to my religious profession. Protected by this garment of salvation, I was confident that I would lack nothing, but all would succeed and give you glory. That beautiful, you know, how saints can share that intimacy of the Lord, can, you know, that they truly experience him. It's almost like they can hear his pulsations of his heart within him. But yes, Peter Canisius, a doctor of the church, great preacher, and that light of Christ, Jesus, shone through him, Ken.
Very good. We got a caller on the line. We're going to go to our friend Bob. Hello, Bob.
Yes.
How are you, brother?
Good. How are you?
All right. What's going on?
Not too much. If you don't mind, I'd like to change the subject for a second, just about because it's Christmas time.
Okay.
I'm always wondering about this. You know, Gabriel announced to Mary that, you know, if you agree, you're going to be the mother of God. How much did she really understand that her and St. Joseph, it's like they kept being told, I mean, I think of the joyful mysteries. The first one, Gabriel says. The second one, the visitation, Elizabeth says, you know, how is it that the month my Lord? So the third one, of course, he's born. A fourth one, presentation in the temple, Simeon says, this is the Messiah. So, like, but then when she finds him in the temple, and he says, didn't you know I had to be about my father's business? She seems surprised. So, like, how much do you think did she realize immediately that Jesus was God?
What do you think, Father?
That's a good question. I mean, you're not the first one to ask that question, Bob. Even like when did the apostles actually come to that knowledge that Jesus Christ is true God and true man?
Right.
But she knew he would be the Messiah, right? The Messiah.
Right.
You know, but God, you know, that's, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a, right. Yeah, I made a comment this morning, Bob. We had our contemplative prayer group, and of course that's the gospel of today's mass was the angel Gabriel's visit to Mary.
Yeah.
And, you know, there wasn't an Action News van there, so there was nobody that recorded the events as they went down. So the Luke and Matthew, John, the gospel writers, would all get this information after the fact. And I said this morning, I would have loved to have been at the kitchen table when Mary and John, or Mary and Matthew, when they had these conversations. And they, you know, they say to Mary, you know, what really went down when Gabriel came to visit you? By the time the conversation took place, Mary would have known. But so for her to go back and say that, you know, how she responded, because hindsight, she could, you know, she could have said, oh, I knew all along that it was, you know, that it was God or that he was God. And she must have been a really reflective person to remember, because it, you know, she, in the gospel, it says that she would ponder these things in her heart. So here she is, you know, 30, 40 years later, when she's recounting the happenings with the gospel writers, and saying that she pondered these things in her heart, that she probably was not completely aware of all the, she may have known at a higher level, but all the details, especially early on as to what was going to go on. I'm often it's interesting to me that Mary's presence isn't more documented in the gospel. It's probably her way of really remaining humble, because I think a lot of the information that the gospel writers got, especially about the early happenings, would have been through Mary, and that she would have explained to them perhaps what went on in the 30 years between the, you know, the time he's lost in the temple and his active ministry, and what went on at home. But, you know, we don't have that information.
Right. So, well, I've got a good answer this morning about another thing, is why Zechariah was struck mute for questioning Gabriel, but Mary wasn't. And the priest explained it because Zechariah doubted that it would happen. So he was asking what, whereas Mary was asking how. She knew it was going to happen. She didn't doubt for a second God's, you know, power. So she was just saying, well, how is this going to happen? She knew it was going to happen. Whereas Zechariah, he doubted it was ever going to happen, you know?
That
was a revelation to me today. But the other thing, you know, two of the joyful mysteries, the presentation of the child Jesus in the temple and the finding of the child Jesus in the temple, are also two of the sorrows of Mary. Her seven sorrows, those are two of her seven sorrows. And I felt that just a minute ago when I heard Patrick's voice. I'm so happy to hear it, but I miss you guys. You know?
Yeah. So, yeah, it was.
I miss you.
Nah, we miss you too, brother, especially around this time. But I'm sure you'll get back to the area sooner or later.
I will.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
you can take the boy out of Philadelphia, but you can't take Philadelphia out of the boy.
Yeah. I should have jotted it down, but I think it was, I can't remember if it was Father Wackerman or somebody else that I heard over the weekend. Oh, it was last Thursday night, Father, with Brian Gale out at the Militia Immaculata Village, where he talked about, you know, we call them the five joyful mysteries, but within each one of them, there's a whole lot of sorrow. And I had never really reflected on it, you know, that way, that in each of those joyful mysteries, there was a sorrow that would go along with it. And I thought it was interesting, but I didn't jot it down, and I'm trying to draw my memory. I don't know, Father, if you remember what he linked with each one.
Yeah. I think it's the very definition of the word bittersweet.
Yeah.
You know, it's wonderful, and but, you know, it's tough at the same time. You know?
Yep, amen.
But one of the things I say, how you doing, Father? Well, inwardly, it's all glory, but outwardly, that's another story. It's like, even I said this morning, the little flower, when she went into the cloister, she felt this peace that never left her. But yet there was suffering outside her, you know, it was always trials and tribulations.
Right,
but yet
right,
somehow,
right.
some way, that connection with God. I was thinking of your question, too, and how that would grow on the apostles, and how blessed we are to know that Jesus Christ is true God and true man. How John the apostle would write about the high
divinity.
Hold on,
Bob.
How Jesus Christ would write, you know, how St. John would write about the high divinity of Christ in his gospel. And when we hear that beautiful book of glory, the Father and I are one, and, you know, and this whole thing, how he acted like God, you know. I mean, he was crucified because they said, you're a blasphemer. You're only a man, and you're acting like God. He never said, I am God, but he acted like God. He did everything in his own authority. Little girl, get up. You know, only
right.
God gives back life, or,
right.
you know, the storm be calm. Only God could control the storms. But it's the end of John where he takes the name again and again, where he takes the name, Ego e me, I am. You know,
right.
the soldiers come to arrest John. They, you know, they say, where's Jesus of Nazareth? And he steps forward in the Greek word, Ego e me, capital letters, I am. And the soldiers fall back with their faces to the ground. But how blessed we are to know that Jesus Christ is true God, which means everything he says in those gospels is true.
Right.
You know, he
right.
is the way, the truth, and the life. And bank our lives on it, because this is our God speaking to us. Jesus
right.
Christ is our God.
Yeah.
Amen.
You started to say something, Bob?
Oh, I was just going to say, but we actually have an advantage. 2,000 years of people, you know, studying everything and making it so clear to us, you know? So, you know, like they, even John the Baptist in jail sent people to ask, are you really the Messiah? You know? I mean, we don't doubt for an instant. You know? We know. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think John the Baptist knew too, but he was making sure the followers knew who it was.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? It's it'd be the same as, you know, you go and you ask your mother something, and you go ask your father. You know, they know you're going to get you'll learn the truth or what have you. So,
right. I never thought of that. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I think that was a good idea. Yeah. Because I ask questions sometimes that I don't know the answer to, but I know other people there want to ask the question, and they're not going to. So I ask it for them, you know? That's why he did it.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm sure he knew.
Yeah.
That's right. What a smart guy.
Yeah. Now, and I think that there were saints that, I can think of, like Saint Faustina, would ask
right.
the Lord questions, and she probably knew the answers already, and so she's not asking them for herself. She's asking them
right.
for our benefit.
Right.
Somebody we talk about on the last Wednesday of the month, Louisa Picaretta. I mean, Jesus, you know, would come to her for some 60 years, and she would ask questions. And why would she ever ask that question? She knew the answer, and it's like, well, she wasn't
right,
asking
right.
for her own benefit;
right,
she was
right,
asking for
right.
our benefit.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. I was always thankful to Thomas for doubting, because he gave us like double sure proof. You know.
Yeah.
So,
amen.
Bob, you mentioned Thomas, you know, St. Thomas. You say what
right.
you want about him. When he touched that wound mark, he says, my
right.
Lord and my God.
Right,
you know,
right.
The first
right.
one he calls
yep.
Jesus God, my Lord and my
right.
God.
Right, yep,
yeah.
yep, yep. So, it's so great to hear you guys. It's so wonderful to be able
yeah.
to talk to you. I don't want to take up all your time.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
No problem, brother. Enjoy that.
I learned from St. Joseph, the silent saint.
Yeah, enjoy that warm weather.
Yes, I will. Yeah.
All right, pal.
Got 73 tomorrow. Oh.
Yeah. All right, pal. Thanks for the call. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
And special Merry Christmas to Patrick. I miss him. I miss all of you guys.
Yeah, you too, brother. Can hear it in your voice.
Care.
We'll get together soon enough.
All right.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And Miss Bob.
Yeah. What about Bob? So we got a couple minutes before we go to the break. I'll give out the phone numbers again, especially if you have a Is That Odd or Is That God antidote you want to share with us. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call toll-free 888-343-2484. Any final comments on Canisius, St. Peter Canisius,
yeah,
I should say?
Some of the quotes, one of the quotes is, he said, if you have too much to do with God's help, you will find time to do it all. It's just if God takes you to it, God will take you through it. You know, it's just, again, that will of God, that surrender that all the saints would have, like Peter Canisius, just to have that faith in the Lord that he's divine and we're just the mere branch. And we can do all things in Him, even conquer the grave. And when we're weak, we're strong, because His power rests upon us. So, I always look for those tripods, you know, Ken, and that one where He had that vision, you know, that spiritual experience, and that garment that He saw, and the three were peace, love, and perseverance. It was that peace and love that He experienced in His heart, and He can cut through all the difficulties of life and go through all the storms of life because Jesus was the captain of the ship, sailing him through it all to those safe harbors of His. But, yeah, it's these saints, where would we be without them, you know, Ken? They teach us so much, and these saints inspire saints. They take the word of God, and they live it, and then they show us the promises are fulfilled. All fulfilled, you know, just to do what He tells us. And like I said last week, let the Lord fulfill the debt that He owes us. And that debt would be to fulfill the promises of abundant life, of complete joy. He wants us to have His own very own life. That, you know, just as the Father and the Son, eternal life, has that life, He wants us to have it with the Holy Trinity. And that's what we're called to be, God by participation. It's just amazing, Ken, when you think about it. I was saying this morning, the mysteries, and God reveals so much. But yet Aquinas, with all of his knowledge and everything he had, he was burning up. And whatever the experience he had at the end of his life, burn it all. It's all straw. And even John of the Cross at the end of his life in the living flame of love, he couldn't finish it. Words fell short. He couldn't say any more because he didn't want to do an injustice to it. So he ended the living flame of love. There's just so much more and more and more. God keeps revealing himself. He's unfathomable, you know, indescribable. Gosh, the riches, more than we can ask for or even imagine. But to live his gospel like the saints and begin to taste this glory of God, begin to taste this eternal life that he won for us, that he died this criminal death for us, that we may have life and have it to the full. The complete joy and abundant life, Ken.
Amen. And you mentioned about finding the time to do everything, and it never ceases to amaze me. When I know when they asked you to be the rector, it's like at Malvern, how's he ever going to have the time for that? And somehow or other, God has made it happen. And sometimes I look at my own schedule and how do I get the get things everything done that it. That needs to get done, and people will ask me because they see different things that I'm doing, and it's like it's all God. It somehow or other, He manages to arrange these things so that we can get them done, and so He's not going to ask us to do anything if we're not going to have the time or the resources in order to get it done. And that's often how I make decisions on whether or not it's of God. Is whether or not there's any barriers between me and getting it done. And usually if there are, they're barriers that I put up because I don't feel like doing it or I don't think it's something that I really want to do. But in the end, God always seems to get his way. He'll tear down those barriers, make the time, give you the money or whatever resources you need if it's what he really wants you to do. So we've reached the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a short break. Again, the phone numbers 610-527-2906 and 888-343-2484. Give us a call, especially if God's touched you in a particular way and you can share it with our listeners. We'd love to have that phone call. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. Before we go back to their conversation, we've not gotten any callers yet. If you call, you'll get right in, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-343-2484. Quick update on the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, "We substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies." Father and I and a gang of people get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia at our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson. We get started at 6 o'clock p.m. with a short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then a Calyx meeting gets started a little bit after 7 o'clock. There will be no Calyx meeting next week. We're going to take December 26th off. We will resume in the new year on January the 22nd. I mentioned at the beginning of the show our third Tuesday, which was last night, great crowd on hand. The third Tuesday in January will be January 16th. We'd love to see some new faces down there, especially some listeners. So think about coming down and joining us. The Calyx Unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on January the 4th. The unit at St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside, my home parish, is on the third Saturday of each month. We go to the 8:30 a.m. Mass with the parish and then a Calyx meeting after. Our January gathering will be on Saturday, January the 20th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and they will get together on Saturday, December the 30th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, go down and visit my good friend Sheila Dunn at St. Matthew's, where they have 6:15 Mass, 6:15 p.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And my guest in the 5 o'clock hour, on short notice, is going to be an author, Dan Leroy. He was with me a couple of years ago. He wrote a great book called Liberty's Lions, and he's written a new book called Why We Think What We Think, about philosophy, and I'm looking forward to talking to Dan regarding that. That'll explain a lot about what's going on in the world today, I'm sure, so you want to stick around for that. So, Father, I don't think God's been doing much in the Philadelphia area. We don't have any callers.
You have any other God, Ken?
There's so many. It just seems like it, but nothing that jumps out. I just, just one occurrence after another. I got to get Patrick to come in here with a headset, man. He had some good ones this morning. Why don't you come in here? He's been sitting on the other side of the glass now for a long time as our engineer. He was a frequent caller back in the day. And
the man in the glass.
Yeah. Welcome back, Patrick.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
I'm not hearing you. Do we need to do something in there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one sec. But there, you got to get the other headset plugged in so that we can actually hear him over there. I'll test it for you. Can you hear me now? Ah, there we go. Perfect. Patrick used to call in just about every Wednesday, and then we went and made him an engineer, and we don't hear from him anymore. But we had a gathering this morning, and Patrick had a couple otter gods.
Yeah, so first, I was taking a good friend of ours to a job interview, and before he got out of the car, I said to him, say a quick prayer to St. Joseph. And so we prayed to St. Joseph. I said, he's not only the worker. I said, he's the terror of demons. And he hadn't known that. And then when he got home that same day, after getting good news about the job, he found out his sister had bought him a St. Joseph Terror of Demons bracelet.
Otter God.
Otter God. Yeah. And then at the same time, I'm talking with Bob Mariotti. And I was telling him I'll be able to, I know right where this church is. It's right behind this beautiful statue of St. Joan of Arc out on the Pennsylvania Avenue. And as I'm telling Bob that, he's telling me Father Doug gave him a video to watch on St. Joan of Arc. And he was watching it. So,
how about that? Bob, if you're listening, give you a shout out. Glad to hear surgery went well yesterday or the day before. Continue to get better, and we hope to see you soon. Yeah, I don't know.
But something you said too, Ken, about it's all God. Even every heartbeat is God. You move a finger, it's God. It's all grace. And I was thinking about the retreat that we have over the weekend, the Advent retreat with all the women. There were some men there. And every retreat, it's just, the retreatants, God touches us on retreats. And you just see people go on fire. You see people sharing their faith more readily. And, I always say your next retreat's your best retreat. And just being a part, like a part of being a spiritual director with Kathleen McCarthy, being back with her once again, it was just so many graces and blessings. And I looked out at the ladies, and I always like to say that Jesus is a ladies' man. And how true that really is, I said, I'm a priest, I'm in persona Christi, so I'm a ladies' man. Not that the men are, but you look at the apostles, like John, John had a deep intimacy, a love for the Lord. He could put his head right on the breast of Jesus, and just experience that love. Where us, men, we're so macho. And like you take the John of the Cross, he could see the soul as the bride and Jesus as the bridegroom. It's our humanity being married with his divinity, that oneness, that completeness. And just on that retreat, there were so many otter God experiences in listening to the retreatants get up and share the faith, they were like radiant. They talked so much about the that 15 minutes with our Lord alone in the oratories with the Blessed Sacrament face to face, where they didn't want to leave. And one woman said that she didn't want to leave, and she had to leave, and she heard Jesus say to her, you're not leaving without me, I'm going with you. You know, and that kind of experience, you know, honor God. And I want to share my experience at the end of the retreat. There was a woman from, a nun, consecrated woman from Ethiopia. And she sang over Kathleen and prayed over her. And then Kathleen saw me. She said, come up here, Father. And I knelt down. Kathleen put her hands on me. And this sister, this nun, sang this beautiful song. It was like a melody. It sounded like an angel was singing over me. And as Kathleen was praying, I heard this from the Lord, that as the Father has loved me, I have loved you, Douglas. And I was so moved by that, you know. And I know he always says that. That's for everybody, you know, in the Book of Glory. He says that again and again. As the Father loves me, I have loved you. I mean, to claim that love and to experience it. And I did at that point. I started to shake. I felt like electricity go through me. I had a God bumps all over me. And when I got up, I wanted to share that word with the group, and I couldn't even talk. I couldn't even talk. I was so emotionally moved, you know, odd or God. You know, it was all God all over me. And I couldn't wait to get back to the Blessed Sacrament. I believe I woke up in the morning like 3:30. I sprang out of bed just to be with the Eucharist. I mean, he's so real there. You know, and all these divine touches, these odd or God experiences, and these women of faith, you know, a woman of fire is what it was, too. But, yes, Kathleen, you know, she has so many gifts, and praying over people and hearing the Lord just speak through her. She touches so many souls, and I'm not even sure she realizes how much so. But like you said, Ken, it's all an odd or God experience. He's continually with us, and that's the mystics. They're always aware of that divine presence with them.
Amen. We did generate at least one caller. We're going to go to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Yes, Ken and Father Doug. The men, the legends, no myth, but these two guys. Anyway, Father Doug, on Friday just passed, something happened, and I said, this is a great, is this odd or is this God moment? Just like back in August, I forget it again. I can't tell you. I keep forgetting it. And there's no booze in me. I think I had a better memory when I drank. I just said, another one. But are you ready for this one, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
It's not an odd or God, but it's a pretty funny, it's a true story, but Lou told me about it this morning. Something came across his desk. It happened overnight. This family goes on vacation every year, Disney World or something like that at Christmas time. So he knows he can rob the house easily. He goes in around 1 o'clock this morning. He's in the house. You know, there's no one home. And he hears, Jesus is watching. He's like, what the hell is that? Looks around. Keeps going. He hears, Jesus is watching. He shines his flashlight. He sees a bird. He goes, are you Jesus? He goes, no, I'm Moses. He said, who would name a bird Moses? The same ones that would name their Rottweiler Jesus.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Again, Merry Christmas to you too.
Nah, you too, brother.
I hope sometime in the near future I get back my health so I can go to a Calic Society and finally meet you two people in person. Hope I can see you and walk there. That's my goal for next year.
Nah, I'd love
I need
to have
Jesus,
you.
Jesus, though. and God and Holy Spirit. And, the Hornavine is going on right now, or pretty soon. St. Andrew prayer, I'm saying right now.
Right.
St. Andrew prayer.
That's right.
Anyway, that's it, guys. Oh, Cam, when you went to break, I lost signal for about 5 minutes. I was getting all upset. It's a regular radio. It's not a cell phone or something like that. Just lost signal. I was like, I got to hear Father Doug and Ken because I listen to you every week. And that's all I got to say. I wish you guys the best Christmas. Are you on next Wednesday or is off next Wednesday?
It won't be live. There'll be a recording next week.
Okay, well, then Happy New Year, too, then, to both of you.
Nah, you too, Frank. Always good to hear from you, brother.
Have a good one. Thanks.
All right.
You too, Frank. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
There you go.
Drop. Very good.
Yeah, man.
But, yeah, that was a great retreat. I was hoping some of the women on retreat would call in, Ken, and share their, Advent retreat experiences there. Boy, there was so much there. Yeah, but so many blessings on the retreat. They're so special. And, you know, I don't know if I said this on the radio before, Ken, where my dentist, Dr. Sordello, wants me to come to him every 6 months to prevent tooth decay. And Dr. Jesus wants to come to him on retreat every 6 months to prevent tooth decay, you know, because it's special time, special graces, you know. Time and leave the world and give ourselves to Jesus and experience those spiritual delights within our hearts. He just seems to take us to that out-of-the-way place and just touches us deeply so that we can take those graces and that light of his into this dark world of ours, this sinful world of ours, and bring his graces, that peace, that joy, that gentleness, that transforming love to all of our brothers and sisters in the marketplaces, in all the different places, in the world itself, Ken.
Amen. And speaking of retreats, I hadn't heard back from Mary B. I had a conversation with her 2 weeks ago, I think, and she had mentioned to me that she was trying to put together 2 Divine Will retreats next year. For those that are regular listeners, on Wednesday, you know, the last Wednesday of each month is Divine Will Wednesday. We're not going to have one in December since we're off next week. But Father Celso, who's been with us a few times now, will be the retreat director on a retreat at Malvern. That's going to be February 9th to February 11th. And it's going to sell out quickly. If it's something that interests you, if you've been listening on that last Wednesday of the month in the 5 o'clock hour, this is a great opportunity to spend the weekend with Father Celso and, you know, dive deeper into the divine will and learn more about Louisa Picaretta. So that's February 9th to 11th. You can register online at malvernretreat.com. That's malvernretreat.com. And all the retreats, if you go out and click on from their homepage, you click on register for a retreat, you'll get the whole rundown. And I think they have most of the schedule out there now for all of 2024, especially the you know, the annual retreats that some of us go on each year, including my own in the third weekend in August. The Friel Group will be out there August 16th, and registration's open for that as well. So great gem that we have here in the Philadelphia area, that is that retreat house. And like you were saying, Father, over the summer, they probably had the best numbers that they've had in years, if not ever. And part of that is because of some of the great retreat directors that they've been getting. So if you've never made a retreat at Malvern, maybe 2024 is the time to do it. If you'd like to give a retreat to a loved one, a spouse, your kids, your husband, you can always call the retreat house and get a gift certificate for a retreat and give it to them as a present. Maybe make up your own and stick it in a Christmas card, and then call the retreat house and let them know that you need one and give them the real deal when it comes in the mail. But I don't think you can give a better gift than that.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. So we got about 10 minutes left, Father. You want to go to John Canty?
Yeah, let's do that, Ken.
All right. So I got him here somewhere. St. John Canty, born June 24th in the year 1390, and would die on December the 24th, 1473. Country lad that ended up in a big university in Krakow, Poland. And what I had didn't have a whole lot about his life, Father. He just seemed like for the most part, a regular run-of-the-mill, humble guy that, you know, did his best in everything that he did. He ended up in a parish and didn't think he was going to be capable of doing the work. And, of course, because he, you know, God allowed it to happen, he made sure that he was able to fulfill those responsibilities. And as a result, he won over the people's hearts. But eventually he would go back to Krakow, where he would teach scripture for the rest of his life. Pretty serious guy, humble guy, but really known to all the poor of Krakow for his kindness. And kind of reminds me of somebody else I know, where everything he had, you know, his goods, his money, were always at the disposal of others. And he also slept little, ate sparingly, and interestingly enough, took no meat. I don't know if I'd go the rest of my life without meat, Father. especially bacon for some reason. But no, he would eat no meat. He made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and you know, some of these people that become saints, he made the pilgrimage because he was hoping to be martyred by the Turks. And I just can't see myself right now saying, yeah, I think I'm going to make a trip somewhere in the hopes of being martyred. But he would, it didn't happen on that trip, and he would make four subsequent trips to Rome. And so going from Poland to Rome, he would carry his luggage on his back. And then he was warned to look after his health. And he was quick to point out that the Desert Fathers, who lived really austere lives, they didn't take care of their health, and they lived remarkably long lives. So St. John Canty, whose feast day we will celebrate on December the 23rd, even though he passed on December the 24th.
Yeah, and you know, that's a good point. Never ate meat and slept on the floor, and yet this inner joy, you know, this joy that you just don't get in the world with all the pleasures of the world, no matter if you take nice cruises or, you know, go to fine dining and all. You won't get the same joy that these saints have, because joy is an inside job. Happiness is an inside job. And they just radiated this joy. And, you know, Ken, when he had the chair in the Diocese of Krakow there, you know, the university, and there was a lot of jealousy against him. And it made him leave the chair, the University of Krakow, and he became a parish priest. And the parishioners didn't like him at first, but later they won the people's heart, he did. And when he was transferred back to the university, parishioners accompanied him part of the way, and they grieved his transfer. And he said that this sadness, he said, doesn't please God. If I have done anything good for you, sing a new song of joy. Be joyful, you know, told the pupils to fight all false opinions, but let your weapons be patience, sweetness, love, joy, joy, joy. And he, you know, with the Advent theme, Ken, that we're in, he said when he was dying, never mind about this prison, which is decaying, but think about the soul that's going to leave it. So even as he was dying, he saw this body-soul experience of himself. And he knew he was leaving, like Paul, I'm leaving this tent to be with God, this body that, you know, weighs me down as I get older and older. But this spirit never grows old. It just matures more and more in the peace and the joy and the love of God. It made me think about, eternal life, Ken. And I go back to that story with the Pink Sisters who wore, we say Pink Sisters, but they're really the Rose Color Sisters. They wore rose color and not pink. And I just remember the story there, you know, with the rose color, which is really the joy of the Holy Spirit. And I went in to hear their confessions, and one of the sisters says, Father, would you like to see a miracle? And I said, yeah. And she gave me a see-through cylinder with a string, with a cocoon of a caterpillar hanging off a thread. And she said, Father, now take this home, and be careful with the bumps driving home, because it's very fragile. And you will see a miracle in some days. And I said, Sister, you're trying to get an easy penance from me? She said, Father, just be careful with it. Ken, I took it home, and I put it on my desk. And for 8 days, I watched this butterfly in the cocoon. This caterpillar in the cocoon, right? Because it's a caterpillar hanging from the string, and it's being ready to transform itself into a beautiful butterfly. But on the eighth day, it's like I thought it died on the seventh day. I was going to throw it out. But on the eighth day, I woke up and I saw this beautiful monarch butterfly with the designer lines all through it, this orange and black designs. And the beady eyes are looking at me. And I remember Sister saying, you know, let it sit for a day to dry its wings and then take it out into the garden. And I took it out to the garden and I put my index finger, and this butterfly plopped on my index finger, waving its wings at me and looking at me with those beady eyes. And then it took off and it flew up into the nectars. And just hit me, this animal, this creature, this caterpillar that took forever to go anywhere and ate dirt along the way, now can fly free like a butterfly and eat the finest foods of the nectar. What a transformation. And it just hit me. that's a creature of an insect, of a bug. What does God have in store for us? You know, when we leave the cocoon of our bodies and fly close to Him and see ourselves in that very image and that likeness of God. But when John Canty talked about that when he was dying, that, you know, don't think about the soul that's, but don't think about the body decaying. Think about the soul that's going to leave it and be purified and be joyful and happy forever and ever and enjoy the eternal life, God's very own life, the whole meaning of Advent, that God became man so that man may become God. He came to pay a debt He did not owe, because we owe a debt we could not pay, to be like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in that joy of God, in that love of God, in that transforming glory of God. Oh, souls called to these grandeurs, what are we doing and how are we spending our time, Ken?
Amen. And how are we spending our time this week in preparation for the great celebration on Sunday night, Monday of Christmas? And I know there's shopping and baking cookies, and I'm watching the franticness in my house ramp up a little bit. But we need to make sure that we carve out time for the real reason for the season, and you know, the reminder that you know, Christ did come into the world, and that we need to be watchful and attentive and faithful, not just between now and December 25th, but every day year round. And I'm going to be here for another hour. Father, you're only here for a couple of more minutes. We're off next week.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure we wish all of our listeners a merry and holy Christmas and a happy, healthy, and holy 2024. Father?
Yeah, Ken, you reminded me of a Christmas card in, about Christmas. I just want to end with that. If you look for me at Christmas, you won't need a special star. I'm no longer just in Bethlehem. I'm right there where you are. You may not be aware of me amid the celebrations. You'll have to look beyond the stores and all the decorations. But if you take a moment from your list of things to do and listen to your heart, you'll find I'm waiting there for you. You're the one I want to be with. You're the reason that I came. And you'll find me in the stillness as I'm whispering your name. Love, Jesus. Merry Christmas to all, and to all, good night, Ken.
Amen. Can you get your blessing, Father?
Yeah, I was thinking of Michael Dietz and all of our loved ones who have gone home to God in Christmas and praying for us. You know, that's what it's all about, Ken, that we all come home and see one another as God's eternal family with our moms and dads, our grandparents, friends, brothers and sisters, you know, all of us as God's eternal children. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And Lord, bless us all with a very Merry Christmas, and make our hearts all new. Give us a happy new you, Lord, that we may be ever new, ever blessed, and closer to you than ever before. And Lord Jesus, for our new slogan for 2024, oh Jesus, open the door more, your door more in 24, and bless us all with a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Ken. Thanks, Ken. God bless you.
Yep, everyone. You too, Father. We'll see you in the morning. For our listeners, our guest in the 5 o'clock hour is going to be Dan LeRoy. He's already on the line, so we're just going to take a short break, and we'll be talking about philosophy and some of the reasons why we are where we are with the conversation that we have. So don't go away. We'll be right back.